But we are studying, started last week, the book of Leviticus, and studying through the books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And what we're trying to do, obviously, is just give an overview of the Bible, look at some of the important events that really tie into the New Testament, tie into the life of Christ, as we try to get a deeper understanding of God's Word and to be good faithful soldiers. And that's kind of the design of this program. So let me ask you this. What's the book of Genesis about? The beginnings. That's what the word means, right? So you have the book of Genesis. It's the book of beginnings. What began in the book of Genesis? The world. Creation. We have the beginning of the world. We have the beginning of mankind. You have the beginning of sin, right? And God's plan to redeem man from sin. So you have the book of Genesis. How many years are covered in the book of Genesis? Roughly. About 2,500. You ran out, Josiah? We got a lot of visitors. Cool. So you've got about 2,500 years covered in the book of Genesis. Now, there's 1,656 years from the time of creation to the time of the flood, and that's probably the 1,600 you're thinking of, Diane. But you got about 2,500 years on the book of Genesis. What dispensation? What age is that cover? Patriarchal age. So then we get to the book of Exodus. And the patriarchal age goes through about the first 80 years of the book of Exodus, because we don't get what's the second age called after the patriarchal age? Mosaic age. We don't have the law of Moses until Moses is 80 years old. So you got to get 80 years into Exodus before you get that. But then you got the Mosaic age. And how long does the Mosaic age last? It starts at Mount Sinai and lasts until when? Until the cross. Is that Lonnie? Is that what you said? So it starts at Mount Sinai, and the Mosaic age lasts until the cross. This is back on the white cards, on the overview of the Bible cards. When did the Old Testament end and the New Testament begin? When Jesus died on the cross. I think that's on your priest card back on the white overview cards. Old Testament ends, New Testament begins when Jesus dies on the cross. That's when the Mosaic age ends, and that's when the Christian age or the Christian dispensation begins. So book of Genesis, book of beginnings, book of Exodus, what's it about? Exiting. Exiting where? Exiting Egypt. Now, what did you say? Did you say Mount Sinai? Is that what you said? Or did I mishear? So book of Exodus, because I thought you said Mount Sinai, which is right. So book of Exodus is about exiting Egypt. Well, they did that. And once they got exited out of Egypt, that's the first 14 chapters. Well, then what's the rest of it about? They get to Mount Sinai. Takes them about a month and a half to get to Mount Sinai. And what do they receive when they get to Mount Sinai? That's our first immediate answer. They receive the Ten Commandments. What else did they receive? Anything else? They received the law of Moses there at Mount Sinai. Not just 10 commandments, they got 613 commandments in the law of Moses. They got the entirety of the law of Moses. Now, here's something that I didn't realize when I was a kid, but it's helped me out. How long were they at Mount Sinai? They were there for a year. You know, when I was a kid and we traveled around, we'd make stops in certain places. But, you know, it's like, all right, here's a night here, a night here. Or we might spend a few nights here. You know, if it was Montana or Alaska or something, you'd spend a few nights here and enjoy it. And so that's, in my mind, that's what they were doing. They left Egypt, and when I was a kid, left Egypt, and they're just traveling on. Okay, they stopped for a few nights at Mount Sinai. Moses runs up, gets the Ten Commandments. Hey, got them. All right, let's go. Let's keep leaving. No, they're there for a year at Mount Sinai. So here tonight, we're talking about the book of Leviticus. Where did the book of Leviticus come from? It all came at Mount Sinai. They did not leave Mount Sinai until you get into about Numbers chapter 10 and 11 is when they finally leave Mount Sinai. So they get to Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. Rest of the book of Exodus, you got 40 chapters, they're at Mount Sinai. The book of Leviticus, we'll talk about that in a minute. The whole thing was given 27 chapters while they're at Mount Sinai. And then the first 10 chapters of Numbers, they're still at Mount Sinai. That helps me to see that this is a major event taking place. Now, what's taking place? God is establishing a covenant between Him and who? the children of Israel, the Jews at Mount Sinai. That's key. The law of Moses was a covenant that was made between God and the Jews. So now, book of Genesis about beginnings. Everything starts there. Book of Exodus is about exiting. What is the book of Leviticus about? It's about laws. It's about a lot of laws, about specific keeping of laws. Why is it called Leviticus? Y'all have your cards? Look on your prophet card, on your Leviticus through Deuteronomy prophet card, and there's a question there that says Leviticus tells about what? Duties of who? The priests. The priests came from what tribe? Levi. The priest came from the tribe of Levi. So what's the first four letters of the book of Leviticus? Levi. So the book of Leviticus was written for Levi, right? It's going to be his favorite book in all the Bible. The book of Leviticus was written for Levi. That's a true statement. Why? Because it has the duties of the priests. So this is like a manual for preachers back in the day. All right, this was a manual for the priests. If they wanted to know what their job was, that was their job. Key word to the book of, I like key words. The key word to the book of Leviticus. It's not priests, at least not my key word. Not Levites. Key word, do you have your prophet card? Leviticus tells about, and it says, duties of the priests, parentheses, Levites, and then what does it say after that? Holiness to the Lord. Why does it say holiness to the Lord? Because the priests, that's what it said across their hat. Holiness to the Lord. What was the priest's job? The priest's job was to remember that there was a holy God, but a very unholy people. And they needed to be able to get these holy people to be able to approach this holy God, even in their sin, to be able to approach the holy God. So why are there all these sacrifices in the book of Leviticus? Because the priests are trying to get these unholy people to be able to reach and to please this holy God. That's what the book of Leviticus is about. It's about helping these priests to do their job and helping them to remember the holiness of God. So on your prophet card, on the memory verses of your prophet card. Get to that section. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2 says what? You shall be holy. This is God speaking. You shall be holy. Why? For I, the Lord your God, am holy. God is holy. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, he says, I'm holy, therefore you must be holy. What does it mean to be holy? What did you say? Set apart. To be holy means I am set apart. I am not what I used to be. I am now different. God has set me apart. I'm not like the world. I have been set apart by God. I have been made holy, not by my goodness, but I've been made holy by God. And so God says here in Leviticus 19 and verse 2, he also says in chapter 11 and verse 45, you be holy because I am holy. Now, how can we be holy if we're not holy? How can we be holy? Go to Leviticus chapter 19. Get your Bibles. Open up your Bibles and look in Leviticus chapter 19. I hear like two people turning pages, so thank you to those two people. Oh, I heard two more. Oh, look, I hear more. All right, now you're just faking it. All right, don't fake it. All right? Don't deceive me. That would not be nice. All right? But on your priest card, there's a question that says, what's the basis of holy living? What is it? What's the basis of holy living? Because Jehovah your God is holy. I want you to see this in Leviticus chapter 19. I think it's cool. He says in verse 2, speak to all the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy. Why? Because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. That's a cool verse, right? And keep my Sabbaths. But I want you to see the end of verse 3. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols in verse 4. What are the last six words of verse 4? I am the Lord your God. Look in verse 10. Do not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard, for you shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. What's the last six words? I am the Lord your God. What are the last three words of verse 12? I am the Lord. That's four words, sorry. Verse 14, last four words of verse 14. I am the Lord. Verse 16, last four words. I am the Lord. Verse 18, last four words. I am the Lord. Do you get the idea? It's in verse 25, it's in verse 28, it's in verse 30, it's in verse 31, it's in verse 32, and verse 34, verse 36, verse 37. So here's a book that June rightly says is a book of laws. Well, why should I have to keep all of these laws? Why do I have to do that? I don't like laws. There's a bunch of do's and don'ts. I don't like do's and don'ts. That's not nice. Why should I have to do that? If you just underline and look at those times at the end of those verses, why should I have to do this? Because God is the Lord and I'm not. Do these things, for I am the Lord. Do this, for I am the Lord. Do this, for I am Jehovah your God. I don't look at that and say, I don't need to look at that with some kind of a begrudging attitude. I need to look at that and say, thanks be to God, I'm not the Lord. And thanks be to God that He's not the Lord. Wow, that'd be a horrible thing. Thanks be to God that He is the Lord and that He knows what's best for me. That's the book of Leviticus, is God telling the Jews, here's what you do in order to be holy and to be right in the eyes of a holy God. So, you got your cards, look at your prophet card, and there's a whole string of questions on your prophet card. What was the Jewish punishment for cursing parents? Put to death. Aren't you glad you don't live under that law? So the Jewish punishment for cursing parents, put to death. What was the Jewish punishment for adultery? Put to death. What was the Jewish punishment for homosexuality? Put to death. What was the Jewish punishment for witchcraft? Put to death. What was the Jewish punishment for blaspheming the Lord? Put to death. What was the Jewish punishment for murder? Put to death. What was the Jewish punishment for burning the toast? Way to go, Scott. Now, we put all of these in here with the same answer to get the idea. But why did God, when you think about those verses, does that make you nervous? Does that make you uncomfortable? Here are all of these sins, and these sins, God says, result in death. Why? Why would these sins under the old law, why would they result in death? Because sin separates us from God. Does sin have consequences? Yeah. Does sin have consequences personally? Yes. Does my sin affect somebody else? Yes. And God wanted them to understand how severe sin is in our relationship with Him. Look over in Exodus chapter 21 for just a second. What was the Jewish punishment for murder? Death. Look in Exodus chapter 21. Here's a verse you might want to have underlined or highlighted in your Bible. And there's a whole lot here. You know what? Just start with me in verse 12. This isn't the verse that I'm going to get to, but we're going to get there in a second. Verse 12. This is Exodus 21, verse 12. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall what? Be put to death. That's murder. We saw that over in Leviticus. So verse 14, if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. Verse 15, who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Verse 16, who kidnaps a man and sells him shall surely be put to death. Verse 17, here it is, he who curses father and mother shall surely be put to death. So that's the context of getting down to verse 22. Look at verse 22. If men fight and hurt a woman with child, pregnant with child, so that she gives birth prematurely. If your Bible reads in such a way, that's a whole lot different than that, you need to have a look at your Bible. There are some that sort of do some mistranslating here. A woman is pregnant. Two men are fighting. They hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely. Yet, he says, if no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judge determines. But, verse 23, if any harm follows, then you shall give, and I'm not looking at verse 24 and 25, I'm just looking at verse 23, then you shall give what? Life for life. Oh man, there's a lot in those words right there. Life for life. So this woman was pregnant, and that which with she was pregnant came out. And what did God call that which with she was pregnant? Life. But if something happened to that life, then something, what was the payment? If something happened to this life that was in her womb, then what was the punishment? Life. Whose life? The one who caused that life to be taken. Isn't that interesting? The man who caused it, was he alive? Well, at one time he was. Did he have life? Yes. And his life was equal to the life that was in the womb. They both had life. In God's eyes, there was not one who had more life than another, or one who was about ready to get life and the other didn't have it. I just think that is a passage that we need to know is in the Bible. How does God view abortion? What's the Jewish punishment for murder? Put to death. Is there any difference between murder and abortion? These men in Exodus 21, apparently it was accidental. They were fighting and they caused this to happen. And God said, if this accidental caused this baby to die, then life will be paid for life. I wonder how God looks at that happening intentionally. Not that baby coming out by accident, but that baby coming out before intended on purpose. I wonder how God views that. We live in a world right now that's really warped and messed up. We need to see, how does God see things? How does God look at things? And to make sure that that's how we see things and that's how we look at things. There is so much more in the book of Leviticus that we need to see. How does the book of Leviticus tie in with Jesus? The book of Leviticus was written for the benefit of who? The priests? Does that have anything to do with Jesus? Is Jesus a priest? He's not just a priest. He is our high priest. And these priests, and Dan talked about this last week or the week before, these priests in the book of Leviticus, where's the Day of Atonement talked about in the book of Leviticus? I think this is a key chapter. Where's the Day of Atonement talked about in the book of Leviticus? Chapter 16. That's a good chapter to know. Do you know about the scapegoat? Have we talked about the scapegoat in here? You know about the scapegoat? That's a really cool story in Leviticus chapter 16 about what happens with the sins of the people. They would take the sins of the people, and Aaron would come and lay his hands on top of that scapegoat's head, and he would transfer all of the sins of the people onto that goat. And then there was a guy who had the charge of taking that goat out into the wilderness to do what? To take all of the sins of the people out into the wilderness. And they had to do that every year. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Every year, your sins have to be laid upon a goat's head and marched out into the wilderness. Jesus comes, he's our high priest. What did he do with our sins? Did he put them on a goat? Did he put them on a goat's head? He didn't put them on a goat's head. Where did he put our sins? He put them on himself. And he went and died on that cross. Does he have to do that every year? one time for all time, the book of Hebrews says, he died for us. Jesus is our high priest. And so when John saw him in John chapter 1, verse 29, remember what John said? Behold the of God who takes away the sin of the world. What did John call him? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the high priest and he is the Lamb. He is the book of Leviticus all wrapped up. He is the sacrifice and the sacrificer. And he took our sins upon himself, not placing them on top of some kind of a goat. He took our own sins in order that we might be saved from them. We don't have time to get into the book of Numbers. I wish that we did. Let me ask you real quick, what is the book of Numbers about? It's about numbers. Fantastic. Numbering, maybe you said. It's about numbering. Why is it called the book of Numbers? It's about the census. Do we want to talk about a census here? No, I don't want to talk about a census here. I'm tired of the phone calls. All right, so they took a census. Now, why did they take a census twice? Why did they number twice in this book? What is this on your prophet card? Numbers tells about two countings of the people, right? How far apart were the two countings? 40 years apart. Why did they number the people twice? Because a lot of them died. You know how many of them died? We know at least 603,548 of them died. At least all of those fighting men did, plus everybody else who was of age. They all died. So yeah, they needed a recount so that when they went to the restaurant, they could say, yes, a table for 603,550. I mean, they needed to know when they're making a reservation, all right, when you call up, all right, how many rooms do you need? Well, I need a lot of rooms. They come out of Egypt, they get numbered. 40 years later, they get numbered again. What's the book of Numbers about? It's not just about the numbers. What happens in between the numbers? Where are God's people in between the numberings? They're in the wilderness. Why are they in the wilderness? Because they did not believe. They did not believe God, and they did not get to go into the promised land. Book of Hebrews says to us, there's a promised land waiting for you. You better believe. You better hold on to that confidence and not let it go. You better learn from history. That wraps us back up where we started tonight, and we'll finish tonight. History has a way of repeating itself. May God help us not to be like those Jews at Mount Sinai and want a God made in our image and get out of control to where we're bowing down and worshiping something that truly is not God. We need to love the truth and demand the truth, and then we don't need to lose our faith. We need to put our faith in God and not allow ourselves to get so close. Hebrews chapter 4 says that there is a rest that remains for us, but he says, don't come up short. Wouldn't that be the worst thing to happen? To come up short of entering the promised land. And here was 603,548 men of war, plus all of those others that were not in that first counting. We need to be mindful of them. All right, next Sunday night, we're gonna walk through the book of Numbers. We're not going to get through the whole book, but we'll get at least up through the spying of the land. So, all right, thank you all very much for your good attention tonight.